Howdy, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the one and only Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Well, hello. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm just settling in to talk about the season premiere of McBee Dynasty, which we're about to get into in about 45 seconds or so. Before we do that, go check us out on Patreon to watch video of our shining faces and also get a weekly newsletter that is free for all, and also our bonus episodes and also ad-free listening, all the good stuff, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. And other than that, and also check out Ronnie. Ronnie was on Sarah Gailey's podcast.
Oh, Andy's recently? Girls. Yeah, go check Andy's that girls. Out. Yeah, a lot of fun stuff happening, Ben. Did you already say your newsletter? I was texting.
I did not mention my newsletter, but I have my food newsletter, MBD Fancy, where I reviewed a super fab cookbook called Better at Home. So if you're in the market for a cookbook and you want to know all the deets and what you should cook from it, go check that out, mbdfancy.substack.com. And I'm sure anyone who's listening to the McBee Dynasty is like, what cookbook should I get that features someone who lives in Nova Scotia cooking, you know, like fish with Casablancano olives? Like, it's the totally same audience as McBee Dynasty. So,
yeah. Know your audience. And it is this one, the McBee Dynasty, Season 3, Episode 1, Judgment Day.
Judgment Day. That is exactly what I was doing when I was watching this. I was passing judgment, that is for sure.
Well, we are judgment gays, so
we are a
perfect title.
Yeah,
we are back with McBee Dynasty. I know you're psyched. This show, wow, Bravo really is featuring the terrible men more and more on the channel in general. I think that they've realized it's going to make them some money featuring terrible men. I mean, it's every show now is basically centered on fucking terrible men, and this show is like their crown jewel. I think. Well, yeah. I don't know. They've still got southern charm. So.
I'd say they're crown turd more like. I think the thing is that, like, you know, there are terrible men on all these shows, and that's kind of a weird joy in watching all that. I think the big crime is to be not a terrible man, but to be a terrible man and also a boring man. And unfortunately, I feel like that's something that the McBee Dynasty does do, unfortunately for me. But, you know, hey, new season, new attitudes. We're gonna be open and accepting of the McBee Dynasty and all it has to offer us, and all the exciting plot twists and stories and uniquely shaped
terrible.
Girlfriends. Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Shaped. I didn't mean uniquely shaped. I meant more like cookie cutter Kalos.
Yes. Uniquely printed
Kalobots.
Maybe is the best. Printed.
Uniquely shaped sound like body shaming. It was not that.
No. Yeah. Well, they're all gorgeous. They're just like printed in a 3D printer. You know, it's like the same thing. Like one's done, you just are like, I want another one. She better be the same exact size, blonde, everything printed. Print me another one. Print me another Kala. Get her on.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, yeah, so it's back and you know, luckily we have our favorite, unhinged Russian in the mix, Galina.
Oh, this is the only reason I love. Okay. There's two reasons I watch this. Galina, number one, Galina, number two, and 2.5, Jesse's still hot. I'm sorry. I don't care. I still think Jesse is so cute. I like Tessa. I was actually worried this episode that they got rid of Tessa because we didn't hear her. You know, normally it starts with like, well, previously on this show, these boys are just everything. Everybody does them wrong. And I just don't understand why. But they didn't.
Previously on the McBee Dynasty, don't you dare say that Stephen's hair is thinning. That's normal. That's fine. Don't make fun of my boys.
Maybe your eyes are thickening. But they didn't show her, so I was really worried because I love me some Tessa. But she ended up coming and, you know, giving her, like,
I'm so sad. I'm so sad about Stephen Sr. How could they do this to y'all? You're just little munchkins. You need me to change your diaper? Boys will be boys. We got to save the facility.
So, yeah, I mean, we all love Tessa. And I guess we just like, well, I don't want to say we love the women of the show, because honestly, I just like Tessa and Galena. I think the rest are like just sad, sad, wet rags. But Galena and Tessa, they're the beacons. They're the beacons that get me through the episodes.
Okay. Well, I'm here for the Dribble Doors, personally.
The Dribble Doors. So,
yeah. All right, so here we go. Season 3, episode 1. We open the Farm Fulfillment Center. So you know it's going to be a good one. Christy, who is the mom of the group, sees Steven Sr., who's like the oldest brother, who's always going to run everything. I am here to save this family. And my daddy taught me at a very young age what fulfilling farm things means. And I'm going to do it.
So Christy comes in. Shockingly, she doesn't have a wheelbarrow with a 6 foot tall latte behind in it. She loves a big latte. Okay. So she comes in and she's like,
well, I love that your takeaway from season 2 was, God damn, those lattes are big. Those fruity lattes that they get.
Look, I have a giant Starbucks in honor of her. And this is like a fraction of the size of the latte she was always toting around. So she's like, well, it looks so different than the last time I was up here. It's like, mother, you are being so pessimistic about my hair. No, I was talking about the farm facility.
Okay. Well, I'm getting more organized. You know, I'm learning the curve, mama. How you doing? She's like, I'm a nervous wreck. You know everything going on? You know everything going on? Your piece of shit father finally going to prison? It sucks for me. Horrible day for me. Thinking about your daddy possibly getting it up the rear in prison where he's belonged since the second he cheated on me. I mean, I'm sad. It's a very sad day for all of us, isn't it, honey?
The unknown is horrible. Like, it's been a long few years. I've just been slurping so quietly and for so long on this latte, and I'm almost getting to the bottom of it, and I just don't know what happens when I finish it. The unknown is horrible.
I just have one question, honey. No one has been able to explain to me in all these years. What in the heck is oat milk? What's that?
I had a terrible day. I used one of those latte foamers on my hair. Thought it might give it some volume. Don't ever do that, Steven. I mean, not that you really have much volume left, but you know what I'm saying.
It's like, well, daddy's getting sentenced, but I hope it's just probation. And I don't think it'll be too much. He's daddy. Everybody loves daddy. I mean, daddy, he can get you a soybean. He can wash your car. Who doesn't love daddy?
I hope it's just probation or house arrest. He's like, yeah, house arrest would be great. Just making me an anxious wreck right now. She's like, I know. And then it's like, and we go to somewhere else. We go to Cole and Casey's new house. Talk about house arrest. They're there with their baby, Blair. And Casey's like,
wow.
I just was stating facts. And Casey is like, just... So Casey's
with
like,
her baby Blair. God damn!
I just said the name was like Blair. So Casey's like,
it's kind of a really weird time right now. I know that the sentencing is tomorrow, and as we all know, the sentencing is that means that's the first day that Cole McBee will ever say a full sentence. Okay, I can speak for myself, Casey. Okay, sorry.
Sentencing is hard. No one in this family had an easy time in fourth grade.
Sentencing, of course, is the time when we have to say a sentence in a smooth way instead of one syllable at a time.
Fail. It just makes me worried. One, for the outcome. Two, now we're a family and we have a baby. Well, whose fault is that? You had a baby with Cole? Please. There is no, but I didn't even have to show up at your house with a warning sign. It's Cole. Cole is a warning sign.
Also, what does your baby have to do with Steven Sr.'s sentencing? I mean, we find out later on what it has to do with it, but like at this point, you don't know. What is this like?
Oh, we are worried, and now we're a family with a baby.
What?
Well,
stop finding ways to bring the baby into that. This guy's going to jail.
Blair is not your baby shield. Well, because basically she thinks she married into this rich family and she married into this criminal family who's being sued for millions of dollars. And there's no way anyone in this family owns anything that's not tied to the business, you know? So dumb. But also, they kind of knew this when she got married to Cole because he was already in a lot of trouble, even though they were pretending that they didn't know. Because today they're like, wow, we've been waiting for this day for 2.5 years. I'm like, well, okay, let me do the math on how long you've been saying that you don't know any of this is going on. You bunch of fucking liars. They're going to be like,
this was shot like 30 years ago. We didn't know yet.
Cole says, there's been a lot of changes in life for me. First of all, and the biggest one, is I became a dad. Blair was born on my birthday, December 13th, 2024. And Casey's like, and we are just living in our dream house. We have always just kind of lived wherever we could. And he's like, yeah, but I'm not living in some old farmhouse anymore that is leaking or having a new issue every day. I'm like, I'll tell you what's leaking and having a new issue every day. You.
And when he said the baby was born on his birthday, I was like, oh, God. Like, that baby needs any more pain in its life. This dad is one of those dads. You point this out all the time. Those dads who are, like, jealous of the baby. Right?
Yeah.
When you give him the baby all love. When you give him the baby. And now the baby's born. Oh, so it's the baby's birthday. Whatever happened to my birthday?
Yeah, exactly. You know he's going to be totally like that. He's going to be a total baby computer.
Also, this house is a big, you know, what you would think it would. It's big. It's a big farmhouse type thing. By the way, I kind of liked it. I liked all the big, gigantic, the wall of, like, windows. It was like garage door windows. Is that what they
were?
I
have actually no issues with the house. I think they have a very lovely McMansion, and I think it's just right. It's exactly what they need. I just want to also point out that Cole McBee and Blair McBee being born on December 13th means that they share a birthday with many people, but most importantly, Wendy Malick. I mean, this is just an affront.
Is that true?
Yes, Wendy Malick is born on December 13th.
How do you know? You looked it up right now, or did you just know that?
I looked it up right now. There's a lot of luminaries. Herman Cain, RIP. Dick Van Dyke.
Wendy Malick came up in a Bravo recap today. That's pretty great, Wendy. We love you, Wend. We love you, Wend. It's also like almost a week after your birthday. No, it's a little more. It's more than a week after. It's a day after. A week and a day after your birthday. Is that right? December 4th plus 7 is December 11th. So it would be, two days plus 7. Talk about sentencing, am I right? Killing it over here.
The point is...
it's your birthday!
Wendy Malick, her birthday is now forever besmirched. Taylor Swift! Yeah. Wait a second. By the way, all the Swifties were so mad that we highlighted Wendy Malick before Taylor Swift. But guess what? You know what? You get in line. Congratulations, Taylor Swift. You're a global superstar, but Wendy was here first.
And she'll be hereafter.
We would have had a million comments if I had not noticed that Taylor Swift was on December 13th. It would have been like, how could you not even mention Taylor Swift on Swifty Day? That's the day that they're telling about
that. Well, that one makes more sense on a McBee. On a McBee.
Yeah,
birthday.
They probably love that. I'm surprised they didn't name the baby Taylor.
Me too. Or Swift.
Like she left us when she went to pop.
Yeah. So they're talking about...
Swift is not a word that's ever going to be associated with Cole McBee. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah. So Cole's like, I'll put all our money into it. I spent like every dollar I made for the last, you know, since I graduated high school. I saved up to build my first house. You did not. Get out of here. This is bought under your fucking family's farm, and you know it.
Yeah.
You all have the same house.
Your name's not even on the title. Stop acting like you saved up you sat there on the side of the road selling soybeans. Come on, get out of here.
You did not, sir. So she's like, it's our dream house. And he's like, well, my dad pled guilty last year to giving one can of the wrong plant date. Gosh, they came after him for putting one little date wrong on a form. You can't even, you get a typo, now you go to jail? It's not real fair, America.
You can't even do casual fraud anymore. So Casey's like,
that's this whole episode. The guy's being like, what? God, America, can't make one little typo? Jeez.
Great news, though. Casey is like, well, you know you have me and Blair. He's like, oh, no. Well,
it's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So now we go to Jesse and Allie's city house.
Can I trade you for the house? What are you saying? How am I supposed to pay for this house? What the fuck does that mean, I have you and Blair? I got one lady who barely can stand me and another one who's stealing my birthday.
I'm sorry, Ronnie. I can't hear you over the sound of the rumble of the subway running right under Jesse and Allie's city house. Because that's where we're going city. Next.
We're going to the big city.
I forgot about their city house. We're at the city house.
They've also got a baby. Everybody's got a baby now.
They got a
baby. It's like watching... It's like watching that Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. It's like cut to commercial and they come back and there's another baby there. You're like, where the fuck did this baby come from?
I know. This baby, I forgot that there was another baby. I mean, I'm still just, I feel like it was just yesterday that they were getting married under that hexagonal arch. So
it's like, when are you going to make that hexagonal thing prove that you love me? He's like, I don't know. I can't bring myself to make shapes right now out of wood.
We need Settlers of Catan represented in this wedding. So they have their baby Summer. And she's like, she's so peaceful when she sleeps. I was like, I would hope so. Imagine the baby's like sleeping like that.
Oh, yeah. That's how I used to sleep, kicking and screaming. Not a peaceful sleeper. It was peaceful for me.
So they got married, as we saw. It's been a whirlwind. Jesse says, first year of marriage has had its ups and downs. There's been so many life changes for me and Allie. We had our little baby Summer back in April. I was like, I don't know why that made me chuckle. Like,
it's like you're born not in the summer. Spring.
There's a seasonal discordance here. Discrepancy. Seasonal discrepancies. Why did you name her April? we have another daughter named April. She's due in the summer.
She's definitely been the greatest blessing in the world. And Allie's like, yeah, postpartum immediately after having her was rough. Like, it was a lot of anxiety. And he's like, but, you know, Allie and I's intimacy has really gone downhill after having a baby. Okay, listen, I've had to listen to it all season from the Valley. I'm not taking it from you two.
I know.
You guys just need to space this shit out because I'm not about to take this from another show. Okay?
I feel like McBee Dynasty is not going to dwell on this. They're like, what? A ladies issue? Never mind. Let's talk about soybeans.
Well, we still got the cows.
Cole got a new hat.
I'll tell you why you buy the cow when you get the milk for free. Because eventually the milk stops freeing. Get over here, Bess.
You are the most pessimistic person about the cow. So Jesse is, intimacy's gone downhill.
Like, well, Jesse, there's always me.
There's always Ronnie.
Close your eyes and ears.
I hope you get that photo of you with Jesse from BravoCon because you deserve it at this
point. I'm never getting that. Casey is never giving me that photo. Never giving it to me. Casey from Bitch Sesh Garbage World. Yes, I'm talking about you. That phone buried, that picture buried on your phone somewhere. You're never going to give it to me. Fine. Always take your own pictures, people.
Always. We learned that from Jesse McBee and from Lisa Hochstein.
Yeah.
So Allie is saying that she got a lot of help from Christy, and I think others, during the pregnancy or afterwards, I should say. I'm sorry, and her mom as well. And Jesse's like, so hey, you took off from my dad's court case tomorrow, right? She's like, of course, I took off from my busy job of doing stuff.
Well, she's a nurse, I think, right? I think she's a nurse. Yeah, she's got a good career. Okay. She's like, of course, people dying, people bleeding. I would much rather watch your dad be ripped apart limb from limb. You bet your bottom dollar I'll be there to support this family. And she's like, you're so strong for everybody. It just worries me. You know, I just want to make sure you're doing okay. Now, don't speak for another 8 hours. She's like, wasn't planning to. That's yeah. Take solace in that.
It's confirmed. She is a nurse practitioner, so she does have.
Oh, I know my McBee. I know my beat. My McBee.
So now, by the way, the entire time, this whole episode is like an episode of 24. It's like beep, beep, beep. It's like 20 hours, 43 minutes of sentencing. Oh my God. Oh, thank God we were not 20 hours, 44 minutes until the sentencing, because that would have totally affected how this next scene plays out.
Yeah, so we go to McBee Farms with Galena and Steven Jr., and I felt like I was watching a play because I started applauding. It's like when the star comes on. I'm like, it's a Galena. It's like, yes. It's like, okay. It's like, go ahead.
No, no, I was going to make some like a Peter's reference.
Brendan Peters. She's like, listen here. Greens, greens, and nothing but greens. Parsley, peppers, cabbages, and celery, asparagus, and fiddle ferns, and watercress, and lettuce. I said, all right. But it wasn't quite because I caught them in the garden, in the autumn, in my garden one night. Don't say Bernadette Peters around me.
Fucking Masha.
Expect not to get that.
Well, yeah, fucking that Masha. Was the exact scene I was thinking of. It's like Bernadette Peters coming out as the witch and everyone applauds.
I know. Because so I did the same thing when she came out. I was like, yes, Galena. She's like, I'm Bernadette Peters. How dare you?
Bernadette Peters is Galena in McBee, a new Stephen Sondheim musical.
Car wash, always a car.
Okay, so Galena's like, Stephen Jr., I think it is important for us to touch base on things like let us hope for the best, prepare for the Masha.
Are you ready for tomorrow?
She's like, I am not. I mean, in a way, just so we actually can start moving forward with what to deal with, it's going to be hard. I'm extremely worried about the length of the sentencing because, you know, ultimately, it's all in judge's hands. And judge does not have chickens that they can kill. So very difficult for me to take action.
He can make example out of Steve. Even though because of Steve, definitely I found myself in horrible situation last year. You found yourself in a horrible situation because you were high off your rocker crashing into trees. Yep. What? That's why.
Literally crashing into trees.
Literally, they cut through a G-Wagon, crashed into a tree. And then the lady, the cop, being like, well, you know, we're not going to charge you for drunk driving because I think something else is going on here. Whatever it is, I don't know, but Steve McBee's pretty big and I've got one more little spot to get punched out on my car wash car before I get a free car wash, and now's not the time to fuck it up. You may go, madam. You may go.
You know they've been let off the hook so many times, like with the local police. And so that's why they're really freaking out. Because like, wait a second, our bag of tricks is not working with this federal judge. I know. Galena is like, she's like, Steve can be at times, you know, very chaotic in relationship. But when it comes to business, he is the rock that holds everything together. A rock that I want to fuck. Have you ever fucked a rock before? Oh, so hot.
How are you calling this man? How are you going to call this man the rock that holds the business together when you're about to lose everything because he committed crop insurance fraud? What are you?
Yeah. He is not the rock. He is a pile of sand. So Steven Jr. is like, we are going to have some intense meetings after tomorrow. I'm like, you're going to start having them every time you go to a meeting. It's like, we have to change the coffee filters. You're like, okay, relax. He's like,
is this an empty bottle of wine that I just found in your trash can? It is still cold.
Well, I'm sorry for refrigerating wine.
Why has no one ordered more Keurig cups?
So,
he's like, I know this because we've done so many of the loans. Every single loan on our books, there's a moral clause where if one of the owners happens to have a felony.
I love that.
Happens to have a felony. The bank can reconsider the loan and call the note to where you have to pay off the loan within 15 to 30 days. And my fear is that if something goes bad tomorrow, we're gonna have a domino effect of banks calling notes.
You know what's a great way to avoid this? Don't commit felonies. That's really as simple as that.
Oh, stop making everything sound so simple. God. So he's saying they're already in a lot of debt. They were already in a lot of debt. Now throwing a felony charge on top of that, and things just got a hell of a lot worse. If these banks pull these loans, that number could reach eight figures real quickly, more quickly than I come.
This doesn't just affect farms. It affects the car washes, the home building, the meat facility, the fulfillment facility, tires, roads, pigeons, everything in the entire world is truly a house of cards.
Oh, God, it's even going to affect the card business we got. Damn it.
And the card washers. Have you ever brought a deck of cards into a washer?
Hey, honey, I'll be right back. I need to run and grab some meat from the car wash. Okay?
Don't forget to pick up a card for Mama.
I don't know if my mother's going to be able to afford one of their big lattes anymore. It's terrible.
So Galena's like, Well, I've been working with McBee's for over 7 years now and worked my way up to become part owner. And since last year, we were forced to sell quite a bit of land to come up to pay off some loans. And then, you know, more loans keep popping up. It's just like a never-ending circle. I'm like, well, stop opening up car washes. You're stop. They've got so many random-ass businesses. Just shut them all down. Pay off your bills.
It's a never-ending circle of LLCs. I'm surprised that anybody could even catch them because they've got so many LLCs going on this show. It's like, well, okay, you want to know who owns a soybean company? I couldn't tell you. It's probably the person who owns a cattle company. Who owns that? The person who owns a car wash. Who owns that? The person who owns a car company. It's like, geez, how do you? It's just a lot of digging. It's a lot of digging.
You just follow the paper trail. Just leads you to Ginger the chicken. Chicken's like, what?
Counting its money.
You signed it in my... Behind it all. So Stephen Jr. is like, it could all come crumbling down tomorrow. And yeah, I haven't been sleeping very good this week, and there's not going to be much sleep tonight. Well, thanks for the update. So yeah. Galina is like, I went on 2 hours of sleep for weeks now, and it's just exhausting.
And he's like, well, you know what? I'm thinking of repercussions, because it feels like my dad's not the only one being sentenced tomorrow, because if things go bad, this farm sort of becomes my prison.
It already kind of is. This farm has been fucked from the beginning. I like that they pretend they're coming from like some successful farm. This farm has been on the shits since the first episode. I've watched them all.
You know what I'm sure a prisoner really wants to hear while they're cooped up in their tiny cell? That your expansive thousand and thousand acre wide farm is a prison. I'm sure that really is going to land well for people who've gone through that.
Yeah, so he says that he's brushed his personal life to the side ever since Calla broke up with him at that wedding last year by not showing up to the wedding. And if his dad ends up going to prison, he's going to have to step up even more than he is now.
Yeah.
I've brushed off my personal life to the side for at least the next 12 hours, and then it's back center stage. So, he's like, for once in my life, that man has always had the answers, and he doesn't have an answer this time. We'll have to figure it out ourselves once in my life.
So then we go to Cole and Casey's house. It's 15 hours until the sentencing, and Steve Jr. arrives with food. And here comes Braden.
Does anybody in this family cook? What do you think?
No.
I know it's weird to like cook shame people, but with a family this huge, it seems like this would be like a potluck family. Like, okay, we're getting together again today. You bring the corn, you bring the bread, you bring the tamales, like whatever they have. This is a lot of takeout. I mean, this family goes through a lot of takeout. I'm kind of jealous.
Well, don't forget, the last time they all cooked food, Casey had like a panic attack and like needed to go to the hospital. Remember?
Because Calla came last year. Remember, because Calla was like being snotty or something. Calla didn't even really do anything, but Casey's like, oh my God, Calla's here.
So Braden is here, and Cole's like, hey, can you take the shoes off? And Braden's like, what the fuck? He's like, of all the people in my family who could yell at me for not taking my shoes off, of course it's Cole. While you're wearing the same pair of socks you probably worn the past week. I like this Braden guy.
I like to think of Braden a bigger role this time. They gave a couple of guys a bigger... Wait, Braden is the brother, right?
He's like the youngest one.
Yeah, he's like the younger brother. He got a bigger role. And they also gave a bigger role to that farmhand guy who came in... Like, he came in like with a glow up, that guy. He's like, I'm even wearing Ray-Bans now.
I know. I was like, this guy used to look like that one guy on King of the Hill, and now he's got like a little bit of body and like he got a haircut. I was like, good for him.
He started off as like Luke from The Valley, and now he came back as I don't even know, but pretty hot.
Season 2 Luke from The Valley.
No.
But then they'll probably go back to season 3 Luke. So Christy arrives, and with the finale.
I have got to pause. Nope. Never mind, I don't. They hung up on me. It's a very important call. Very important.
Was it Stephen McBee calling from prison? You're talking about my family?
I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
No, I know. You're waiting for an important call. So if that comes through, just let me know.
But it didn't. Then they hung up on me. Now are they going to pretend like, but we did call you because you hung up after one ring.
That's so annoying. I hate
it
that.
It is... Man. Okay, I'm going to shut up now. Go ahead.
How many things can the McBees ruin, right? Receiving phone calls. So they're all there. They're having... what's actually really hilarious about this is like the night before Stephen McBee's sentencing. And rather than being with Stephen McBee Sr., they're like, we're going to just leave him in his home alone while we shoot a reality show talking about how much we care for this guy being sent to prison tomorrow.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, how do you feel about Dad? And Christy's like, oh, gosh, well, he's a little nervous, too. I think it's kind of hitting him now. And Jesse's like, yeah, being here feels like the last dinner for everything could change.
Wow. I don't really see them much changing, to be honest. He's like, I think we're all just trying to enjoy this moment together. Sitting here, all gathered around, smelling Cole's socks. Wow. What a moment.
So Casey's saying Cole's stressed, but he's been handling it like better than I thought, but we're so worried. And Allie's like, well, but technically, Casey, this land is like in one of Stephen's loans, right? So if something bad were to happen tomorrow, they could pull that loan. You know that, right? She's like, wait, so that means they could take our house? Wait. And she's like, yeah, you didn't know that? Oh, sorry. I didn't know you didn't know that. She's like, wait, but... why would he keep that from me? He's Cole.
Yeah. This is it. This is the man that you married. And also, neither of you were very bright. So that's why this information did not pass through. So Casey's like, if we did lose the house, I just don't know what we'll do. We put all of our money in our house. We can't just start over. We thought this is where Blair is going to grow up. I'm like, a tornado is going to take out that house sooner or later, so don't get too attached to it, okay?
A tornado.
Jeez.
So it just makes me sick. But he should have told me, because, and then at least I could know. I'm going to freak out. I'm going to say something. And Allie's like, I didn't say anything, though. Don't say you heard it from me. She's like, okay. Hey, Allie told me our house is going to be taken.
So the boys are outside. Steven Jr. is like, hey, how are you guys feeling about tomorrow? Jesse's like, nervous, man. It just sucks because there's nothing we can do.
It's like, yeah, well, it's going to be a long night, but come 11:30 tomorrow, all of our unknowns will be answered, good or bad.
11:30 a.m. or p.m.?
I don't know. Stop asking me questions.
But how many hours and minutes is it till 11:30?
I don't know. I can't do the math.
Well, what time zone?
I don't know.
Cole's like, what is the time zone?
What else?
Wait. Is time zone like an auto zone?
Get out of here, Cole. Change your socks.
So Casey comes up to Cole. She's like, I need to talk to you. Why wouldn't you tell us about our house? He's like, what do you mean? What do you mean about our house? And she's like, but the loan on the land is in your dad. It's on the senior dad's name, right? And he's like, well, I mean, it's the land that's in my dad's name. I mean, the land don't got nothing to do with nothing except that our house is built on it. It's all.
But, like, what happens? Like, you're just gonna give me a 1 day notice? I mean, next thing you're gonna say, it was built on a Native American burial ground. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention we do have a poltergeist. Have you noticed?
But wait a minute. If they take the land, but then what's gonna happen to the house? Well, duh, it's still gonna be a house. I mean, what happens to a sandwich that's on a plate, but then I take it? It means you ate a sandwich. What are you accusing me of, woman?
I'm not going to eat the house. Well, I wasn't saying that, Cole. So Cole goes, well, for all the land that's in my brother's and I's name, that stuff is safe. But for some reason, my house and the ground that's sitting on, whenever we got it bought, it got put under my dad's name. Oh, yeah. Sometimes these things happen. You know, you plug in your computer and it just glitches. No. It's like
another clerical error.
Yeah, you know, somehow it just happens. That doesn't have, it doesn't, the amount of anyone who has gone through the process of anything with real estate knows that things don't just happen that way. Oh, it just happened to be put that way. No, it's like, this is fishy.
Because your dad owns the land. Stop pretending like you've worked since you were 11 to own this house. Your dad, and it's, you know, it's fine. It's normal, you know, like for a family with a huge family business or whatever. But oh my God, pick a story and stick with it, Cole.
So he's like, well, it should be in Orr McBee Farm's name. I just didn't want to freak you out, babe. And I didn't want you to sit here and think all week about this because I hate when you have to think about things. She's like, well, I'm more freaked out to find out the night before. He's like, I know. Not before what? The night before you change your socks for the week. Oh, okay.
So, of course, he's crying. She's like, oh, don't cry. He's like, we'll figure it out. I mean, maybe we can put the house someplace else. So she tells us again, we thought this is where Blair's going to grow. Okay, you know what? I'm not going to sit here and cry for you guys. You guys, this whole family is so ridiculous. Like, well, poor us. You guys, stop fucking everybody over at all times.
Yeah. Yeah. If I have to hear one more time about, oh, we thought this is where Blair will grow up. Oh, please. And watch them move next year to a different house. And now after a season of them saying, but this is where Blair's going to grow up. Boy, is enough. Enough about Blair and where she's going to grow up.
So now Christy's like, boys, no matter what happens, we're all going to get through it. And they're like, yeah, well, we're going to figure it out. I just hope it's fair sentencing. That's it. Better be fair.
Yeah. This should be a fair sentencing.
Like, it won't be. Like
30 years.
Yeah, so, it won't be fair. And that will be in your father's favor. Trust.
Yes.
So now it's the next morning.
Then you'll still complain. You'll still complain.
2 hours until sentencing, the boys are getting on their, you know, trusty suits. And Steven's telling us that the dad could get up to 30 years. They don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, they're all starting to drive to this thing. And Jesse's looking over at Christy's phone. And Jesse goes, wait a minute. That headline says USA versus McBee? Huh. The government trying to pin us against our own country?
The stupidest observation in the history of this show. Do you know how lawsuits work?
I died.
When he said that, I was like, what is wrong with you? I'm being pinned against my own country. You're defrauding people. You're the one who is pinning. You're the problem. It's you.
You defrauded the country, you dumbass. So Steven's like, Cole, you know, even if something stupid crazy happens, do not break face, Cole. He's like, what do you mean? Don't go punching anything. I'm not going to punch nothing. Do not get into a fight with the Hill. I love that they were showing at the beginning clips. They're like, everything this family has gone through. And they just show Cole trying to beat up that little mound of dirt.
Casey is like, it's scary to think about how Steve could get taken out in handcuffs today, and we don't even get a moment to say goodbye to him. Blair doesn't even get to say goodbye to her grandpa. Blair doesn't give a shit right now, okay? Blair's not going to be like when she was 20. When Blair's 25, she's not going to be like, I remember when I was 3 weeks old and I got to say goodbye to grandpa.
Where's that old man with like 8 girlfriends? You know, the baby does not care. So they get to the courthouse. It's 1 hour until sentencing. And guys, it's surreal. It's surreal. And so
they all like park somewhere where they come emerging through like a chain link fence or whatever. Where did you guys park? I know, it was like, so funny to me.
This whole thing was, they're just such fakers because one of them on the way is like, so I've never been to this courthouse. My ass, you've never been here. Like, how far even is it? We'll get used to it.
Yes, we've never been here.
Please. So, Steven, basically, they're all going in, and then we see the drawings. It's like, it's a very, it's a very intense day in the court. It's just like boardwalk caricatures.
Like I'm telling you right now, these could not have been real courtroom drawings, courtroom sketches. They were so silly. They made the judge look like Simon Van Kempen. I was like, can someone please get out of here with this? This is the silliest. They were so silly, and they just kept showing them over and over and over again. And then they're narrating this experience, and Steven's like, it was a surreal experience walking in this courtroom. And Jesse's like, we're walking into what could be the last time we see my dad for a while. Our country has betrayed us. And then Allie's like, it was real quiet. It was real quiet and real still. I'm like, because everyone was probably like gagging from the smell of Cole's feet.
Cole's like, my dad's lawyer asked us all to write letters to talk about my dad's character. Allie, you go first. And Allie's like,
oh my God,
dear Honorable Judge Bow, I'm writing this letter in my support of my father-in-law. No one has done more to support Russians than my father-in-law. Please save him.
It's time for my letter. Okay. Hello. I consider myself to be the luckiest, most blessed man on the planet for having parental support, love and care, and the ability to somehow haul in the same blonde lady from Texas year after year, but with different names.
No, Casey's like,
my daddy.
Casey's like, dear judge, I just found out that my house is like a sandwich and Cole's hungry. Please let Blair grow up in her sandwich.
Now I understand why they call it a club sandwich, because actually I don't. I lost my train of thought. Just let him be free, judge.
Cole's like, my feet itching. I don't know why, but I can tell you this. As I got older, my relationship with my daddy changed. No one cares. What the fuck are you talking about? Your daddy committed insurance fraud.
Dear Judge Bowes, my feet supposedly smell. I think they smell good, but they say it smells bad. I went to the doctor and they said I have athlete's foot, and I said, thank you for acknowledging that I was a quarterback once. So, in closing, let my daddy go.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So, Jesse's like, yeah, I don't know what I expected out of this trial, but I think all of us are most nervous for the judge. I'm nervous for the judge, too. God knows what he's being threatened with.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can we share a little bit of what Jesse said in his letter? He goes, I've never seen anyone as uplifting and positive as my dad. Yep, that's what I think of. Why don't we get a poster of him with hope under it? I mean, this is a man who is positive.
Oh my gosh. So now we go to Jesse and Allie's city house. And the family's all over there, and Galena comes over and hugs Jared, and they're like, oh my God, Galena, are you okay? And she's like, well, obviously breaking up with Steve, it was extremely messy, but I still care about him. I have so many concerns when it comes to business if Steve goes away. How can Ginger take all of this by herself?
How will I bash car if there's no one there to buy new car? So they come out of the courthouse, and they have this, by the way, they have this fake reporter. This is not a real reporter, but they try to make her look real by blurring out her her local news station, which is hilarious because we know that anytime they need to show a local reporter on Bravo, they just pull someone from an NBC affiliate. We get the tricks, okay? This is an actress. She can't even do the reporter voice right. She's like, we have just received word that a sentence has been handed down. So then they get into the cars. It's very serious. And Stephen Jr. is like, I knew as soon as we got into that courtroom that that judge had already made his decision. So it turns out that Steven Sr. was sentenced to 24 months and they're all moping. I'm like, you know what? Jen fucking Shaw got sentenced to 7 years. Suck it up. Okay. If a real housewife can do the time, you can too. Now she got on early,
she served,
but still,
like 5 minutes. So you'll be
fine. She served 5 minutes. Yeah. You'll be fine. Okay. You'll be fine.
Casey's like, well, I mean, 24 months is better than 41 months. Wait a minute, it's just golf or basketball? Not sports, Cole. Numbers. But wait, 41's better because it's bigger though, right?
So then Jake is, and then Steven is like, they're like, wow, you know, it's a lot of months. And Steven's like,
it's not the time, it's the dollar amount.
I was like, okay, well, so much for all those letters about your dad and how much you loved him.
He's like, I don't give you rats in jail. I got $7 million now.
And Jake, the farmhand, is like, wait, but how do they add $7 million on top of that? What the heck? Because this is like automatic tipping.
Well, remember how your dad committed insurance fraud? So that's, you know, you're probably going to have to pay something when that happens. So then Jesse's like, so my dad was sentenced to 24 months in federal prison and then $3 million in fines and $4 million in restitution. We have 6 weeks before we have to take him to prison. So I guess, I don't know. It's a lot of numbers. It's a lot.
It is a lot of numbers. I was like, wow, Jesse, I'm so impressed. He just kind of gazes off. So Cole's like, wow, I'm definitely shocked hearing what my dad got. It sucks. Like, it's the worst feeling I ever felt. I don't know where the $7 million is going to come from, but all I can think about, my dad's not going to be in our lives for 2 years. you guys need to stop being so fucking brainwashed. How is nobody pissed at the dad? Nobody's like, wow, you just fucked over your entire family. Not only, no, like, hello. They're like, but I'm going to miss daddy.
Yeah, you guys are all toxic as fuck. You're in messed up relationships, and you're in a decrepit, like fraudulent farm. And they're like, well, dad's going to be out of our lives for 2 years. The judge should have said, you're welcome. Okay. So Steven Jr. is like, well, I'm just glad that they didn't take him away in cuffs, because the minute he started talking about how a felon is a felon, yeah, you knew it was over, right? I'm like, oh gosh. So
yeah, now they have their big, everyone's like, this is the worst thing ever. What if they take the farm? What if they do this? What if they take Blair? You know, they all have their kind of like little lines.
What if they take the combine? Oh, I wonder if that person's going to get mad at me again this year. That time I was like, oh my God, combine's going so slowly in the streets. What a nightmare. And this person wrote me and was like, you don't understand. How the hell does the combine get from one field to another? It's not that simple. So grow up. I was like, okay, sorry. Sorry I offended the combine.
The combine community is up in arms.
You think these farms just farm themselves? I was like, I understand that there's machinery needed on a farm. I don't like being stuck behind it, though.
Yeah. And, you know, at the end of the day, don't care. So Christy, everybody gathers. The family's all gathering. Christy's the rock. And I think Christy's like the informant, probably. She's like, get him. You know what Steven did?
I hope so.
Check the numbers on that. She's calling Flo. She's like, listen here, Flo. I've loved you ever since Groundlings. Check and see what this fucker's doing.
No, she would never call Flo because Flo works at a company called Progressive. So Steven,
that's true. She's got it blocked from her phone.
They would, I think the insurance would be Farmers.
She's like, so Steven went to jail. Thanks, Obama.
Don't you understand? We are Farmers. Bum, bum, ba, da, bum, bum. So they probably are represented by Aflac, just because it's probably every time Steven gets a flat tire, like, Aflac.
Well, so, we're going to arrest your father for defrauding the company, but he then shot the duck that represents the company. Kind of having trouble finding witnesses. Well, gotta eat. So they're all talking about how horrible the sentencing is, and it's wild seeing Galena in the same room as the mom. And the producer's like, are we missing one more blonde? And Steven's like, well, here we're probably missing three more blondes if we're actually counting. Oh, Dad.
So then Steven Jr.'s like, do you guys want to know where Dad went? And Sean is like, yeah, he took all of them. It's like, yeah, okay, go up and walk, go up to his new house. They're like, I wonder what's going to happen with that. Well, he's got 6 weeks to enjoy his new house. God, it's crazy because we were hoping that Blair would be able to visit that house growing up, you know? So Casey is saying that he seems to be a lot better. Steve Sr., that is. He seems to be a lot better leaving than when he went in, you know? And they're saying that he's relieved. Steve Sr. is relieved because now that he finally has an answer. He knows what's going to happen. So it's like, a boulder's been lifted off of me. That's how I feel. You, Christy.
Yeah. She had the boulder on her. Cole's like, well, now we can move forward because at least we're not just waiting around to see what one guy's going to say about something. Oh, God. Villainizing the judge. Like, oh, God, our whole life. So they talk about how the dad's going to be there for 6 weeks before he's gone for 2 years. And there's so much to do, but he's not on camera. The dad's never on camera anymore. So we're not going to get any of that. So Steven says they have to really blow these businesses up times 10, make this okay. So then we go to the next day. 1 day since sentencing.
I'm like, wait. We're still doing the clock? The clock's over. The sentencing happened. Why are we doing a clock afterwards? 24 ends when the clock hits 24. We don't go into
Just keeps going.
To like 26.
Just keeps on going. So they go to have a meeting at the family farm. And Steven's like, let's go up to the war room. So Galena's not there. They're like, where's Galena? And Jesse's like, well, I've seen her on Instagram. He's like, well, I'm a little tired of the Instagram. You know, for the past year, Galena believes she's a celebrity, and she's been traveling to any and every party she can possibly go to, even Gretchen's from Real Housewives of Orange County. And that is disgusting, even to me. And it doesn't seem well for our businesses that are struggling, whether we need Galena to be there fully focused.
She needs to be here.
Listen, Galina is probably the one who's really running this whole thing. I can't believe Galina's not in the pokey as well. Because doesn't she have to sign off on everything?
You would think so. And if I were them, I wouldn't be mad at Galina going off and acting like a celebrity, because she's like my only way into this show, quite frankly. So like let your Bravo ambassador run the rounds, because like that she is a goodwill ambassador as far as I'm concerned. What was that random wedding that she wound up at where we're like, is Galina there? Is that Galina in the photo? There was some random wedding that happened this
past year. Was there an Orange? Oh, it was Orange County. It was Alexis Bellino and Johnny J.
Yes.
Yeah. She's friends with the Orange County ladies.
Yeah. We'll never forget running into Galina at BravoCon, and she was just drunk, and she just sort of stared at us. And then
she came over to say hi. She was so nice. Yeah.
But she was really nice. She was really, really nice. But it was hilarious because she still just sort of, she was like, it was like next standing next to like Meredith Marks or something. God, my first BravoCon.
That's crazy seeing all those experience. People in one room. And all the McBee guys stood like by the doors in their big cowboy hats, just stood there the whole time. Like, hey. So he's mad that she's acting like a celebrity, but you are the one who started a podcast where the family goes on and talks about this shit every single week. So yeah. And Steven, you were on that millionaire farmer thing. Millionaire. Oh, am I a farmer or a millionaire? The Dayton Show.
Yeah.
Whatever that was.
Exactly. So he's upset that Galina has actually Galina's trying to diversify her portfolio by leaning into being a celebrity, because she sees that this farm is a sinking ship. Okay. But she's not at the meeting. But Tessa's there, by the way, we should mention. Tessa's like, I'm here at the meeting. We all boys will be boys. Am I right? So
they're like, I'm so mad Galina's not focusing on business. Cut to Galina at the nail salon with her daughter. And they're calling her. And she's like, I think I will not take this call. She's like, thanks, Mom. God, finally, you're being a good mother.
Yeah, seriously. Her daughter, Arena, actually says to her, like, you're almost back to being the mom I like.
Yeah.
You're almost there, Mom.
Galina goes, I'm learning how to do progress. Okay. So then we go back to the war room, and the call goes to voicemail, and they're all pissed. And Cole's like, we're going to talk to her. We can't have that, not with Dad not around. He's like, oh, yeah. Well, yesterday obviously shocked us. But guess what? These banks are coming. They are coming for George Bailey, and we need to do something about it, or we're all going down. We are all going down. There is no wavering. There is no weakness. And Cole's like, well, but now we got three or five or 17 more $1 million to come up with. I don't do numbers.
Yeah, now Dad's going to jail. You know, we've leveraged all the car washes against the farms, and we've used all the equity of the farms, and we can't have one thing go wrong, or it's all going to go under. Just sell that shit, please. I'm begging you.
It's literally the same plot every every year. They're like, oh, they are coming for the farm. If we don't make $19 trillion by tomorrow, they are coming for us. We better open a steak company.
So, yeah, they owe, like, $3 or $4 million more than what they thought they were going to have to owe. So they're in a tizzy. And Steven Jr. is like, anything we don't need, we're going to get rid of. Everyone?
Everyone?
What?
What?
Yeah. Cole,
I just can't say nothing no more.
So Steven's like trying to say, lead the meeting. And then Cole just keeps repeating like a word or two at the end of the sentence.
He's like, okay. Well, facility.
Okay, everyone, we're gonna sell the facility. Now I know we love the
facility.
You are. Listen.
What is it?
I know we love the facility. And the first thing I'm gonna do today is take off my socks and clean them.
But he don't even let me talk about meeting. He's always trying to be the boss of me. Well, I'm gonna get him, because even when I came up with all that money that time, nobody even gives me no nothing. And I'm gonna prove myself, because I started the soybeans after I started it behind everybody's back and signed paperwork, probably fraudulently. Nobody gave me credit for that. But then I made all that other money too. I should be the boss of this company.
Hey, this is Jesse McBee interrupting your stupid monologue, Cole, to remind everyone that this facility was Dad's dream facility, and it'd be a shame if we had to sell it. I was like,
oh, gosh.
They just keep showing this big building. Like, oh, no, yeah. The facility.
But they have to sell it, and they tell us what's in the facility, and it's like,
It's not only this building, it's the garage, and it's the grain mills, and the water mill, and the Lego factory, and the straw mill.
It's like, there's the cupcake factory, there's the styrofoam plant that makes the cups for mom's lattes. Oh God, it's a lot of things. They actually have an aviation building. And I was like, an aviation building? I'm assuming, is that for like crop dusting? Is it like they have to take a plane out and like literally fly over the fields and like spray or whatever? I was like, why do you have an aviation building?
Yeah, they've got a lot of... I'm thinking this is probably not the thing they should sell.
Because this is like, I know, that's, the center of everything. That's what I was thinking too. I was like, I do feel like there's probably a good case to keep the facility.
Yeah, and they're like, but what about the car washes? We've already taken $3 trillion out on the car wash. I'm like, you guys, oh my God.
Don't touch the car washes. I don't even like you guys,
and I'm stressed out. I'm like, oh my God.
I just want them to close those car washes so badly. I hate the car washes. I feel like it's like just get... The car washes are probably the thing that are the most profitable, actually. Car washes are supposed to be, I mean, they're supposed to be very profitable businesses.
I mean, I'm a Breaking Bad fan, so the second they said car wash, I was like, okay, so we're going to be laundering some drug money, huh? Okay, well, let's see how this goes. It's, everything they do is just so shady, you know? And now they're like, can't touch the car wash. I'll bet.
Well, now we go back to the nail salon. And and this is where Arena's like, no, mom, I feel like you're almost back to being the mom I knew growing up. She's like, oh, distant, cold, drunk? Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, it's great to have you back.
Yeah. So she says that last year she struggled with anxiety and depression. And, you know, she was hitting rock bottom right when her kid needed her. And she can't do that again. She's like, I started rebuilding my entire life. I had really great days, bad days, days where I would put chicken in dishwashers and for revenge. But ultimately, I'm pretty proud of car wash. So,
so back to the war room.
Okay, so everyone's on board, right? We know the plan. Okay, I've got to go down to Kansas City because I got to stop by the airport and pick someone up.
It's like, wait, what's the plan?
No, shut the fuck up. That's the plan. Cole, you change your socks.
So
what time is it? I'm like, how can you not know the time? It hasn't left the screen.
I know.
It's like, meanwhile, Dara.
Yeah, Dara. This is Dara.
This is Dara.
So Cole is like, I can tell you we won't be hearing from Steven for the next few days because every time Steven's with a girl, he just forgets about everything else. And then we see a flashback to Steven claiming that he's brushed aside his personal life to focus on the business. But is that even true? Because now he's going to the airport to pick up Temu Kala, whatever her name was.
Yeah, the stand-in for Kala, who just happens to be showing up for the first week of shooting. Wow, what a coincidence. Wow, yeah. Can I just say this? I actually kind of like Kala. This lady. Wow. This lady. What an annoying fucking lady. Now, that's not to say she deserves anything she got. This guy, Steven, is such a piece of shit. For those of you who don't keep up with your McBee Dynasty news, he's dating this girl. He's posting all over that he's so happy. They're so in love, this and that. They go to Stagecoach together. He decides to go to bed early. She's dancing with some guy because they're at a music festival. And he's like, you dumb slut. You stupid whore. How could you cheat on me? Went on this. She released all of his texts because he went on Instagram and was like, oh, God forbid a man goes to bed early with that. His Jezebel cheating and whatever he does. And then she released all these texts where he's like, you dumb whore. You slut. I mean, this guy's real fucking classy. So I hope nobody's buying into this. Like, oh, shucks. Just a good guy who just happens to get carbon copies of blonde ladies to torture.
Yeah, exactly. So he's really excited. So here comes Allie. Not Kala, but Allie. Or I like to think of her. She's not Kala. She's Cal B. Okay. And
that's funny. Calby, she's got three of the letters.
She really does.
She's a very close Scrabble bag to the other one and and face and everything else. So she comes and she's like, oh my God, his first message was, you are gorgeous, miss. It was on Instagram. And he said, you're a Nashville gal, aren't you? And I was like, I ain't answering that. Oh, no. Oh, God. I groaned.
You know, honestly, the actual first date that we went on, I've never left the date feeling like, okay, this could be someone that I want to spend the rest of my life with. But I did with her. And she's like, oh my gosh. And Allie tells us, I got confused between, so now we actually have two Allies on this show, which is really going to be difficult. So she says, oh my gosh, I tried to set him up with my sister. Isn't that hilarious? So she gets in the truck and
she's very ready for TV, this one. She comes on, she's sitting like for the confessional and she's just like got her legs up on the chair. So, do my cheek. Okay, yeah, check out my cheek. Like, oh gosh, you've been waiting for this moment your whole life, and it's show, you know?
Oof. Well, maybe you'll run into her, Ronnie, because she's from Austin, Texas, and she turned 28 in March. She goes, but I'm still holding on. I try on clothes for a living, so that's been fun. And so he's like, we're going to have a great time. Are you nervous? Because nervous is not the right word. It's unfamiliar, but there's growth that comes with that. I was like, no.
Prove it. And what is trying on clothes for a living? Does that mean she's a model?
I assume she's like an influencer. But when she said that, I was like, are you another fit model? It's been a while since we've had Jacqueline. It's been 10 years since Jacqueline.
Yeah, we need a new fit model. So he's like, well, a little bit spontaneous. She goes, I like being spontaneous. It's just usually not on film.
So Brayden and Jake are at Steven's house. Where there's apparently mustard everywhere, because Steven, I guess, really likes mustard. And Steven has told them to clean up his house because a girl's coming. And so it has to look cute. So they're there. By the way, they're still that annoying ass, like, fake foliage that's on top of all the cupboards. It drives me nuts. But anyway, so they're there. Well,
we find out where a lot of that stuff comes from, because we, in the preview recap, we did like a trailer trash of this show, and we're like, where did all these pumpkins come from? Where did all this crap come from? Why would Steven have this? And then we find out he made his brothers go clean his house and decorate it because he's just too busy. So he had them do it so he could have it be presentable for the woman folk. And so that's where all this stupid stuff came from.
Yeah, because by the way, this entire episode has been so sullen because they're all like, oh my God, daddy's going to jail. I'm going to read my note to the judge again. And so they've been crying all episode. So this is like our fun and games moment to lighten the mood for the season premiere. So the brothers are like cleaning things up and everything. And they're like looking at his Roman swaps for male enhancement and stuff like that. And
we find out Roman swipes. I've never heard of these. Had you? Roman swipes, and Jake is like, yeah, it's for male enhancement. They make you last longer. Look it up on your phone. So this is the episode we find out Steven lasts like 2 seconds in bed.
Yeah.
I think it's so funny.
Yeah.
And it becomes a continuing thing.
The idea of anyone being able to enhance Steven McBee is also a hilarious concept to me.
No. Well, roids can't do everything. So Steven Jr. and Allie are in the car, and we're back with them. And Allie's like, McBee's coffee and car wash. Your name's everywhere. Everywhere I turn, it's McBee. I had no idea.
I regret that now. Don't ever make a brand your last name, ever. Horrible idea. Can't hide from the feds as easily.
Yeah. So they go through the car wash, and he's like, I don't know if she's closed off or she's got, like, kind of a snotty attitude or what. And then afterwards I said, I was completely wrong. She's not snotty. She's amazing. She's super smart. My brain hurts just from trying to keep up with her.
Well, to be fair, I feel like your brain hurts just doing most things.
Yeah.
Why is this door not opening? So Brayden and Jake still decorating everything, and they're saying that they have a nicer palette than Steven, especially when it comes to decorating for girls. But this is all a big misdirect, because guess what? Steven and Allie show up, and the place looks crazy.
Yeah, it's got like crazy decorations, and it's like got some Halloween thing that's like, show me your boobies.
Yeah. It's like stuff that's like clearly... they're clearly trolling their brother, right?
Yeah, so. And they're putting, like, handcuffs on the bed and stuff like that. Yeah. And meanwhile, Allie's like, so how's your dad? How are you feeling about that whole thing? And he's like, oh, man, that man can handle stress like nobody I have ever seen. He just starts writing numbers down on contracts and sending them into the government.
And Ellie goes, so that's where you get it from? What? Are you saying that Stephen McBee Jr. handles the stress well? Have you seen the veins in his forehead and his neck?
Yeah, fast forward to Stagecoach. See how...
I know, seriously.
This car wash does not clean my car adequately.
Yeah, so she's telling us that she would never just go anywhere for a man, but they're so connected. And he's telling us, yeah, you know, I'm just so spontaneous now. This is one of the most spontaneous things I ever did. And then they cut back to the brothers and they're like, don't you think it's a little weird that he's flying in this new girl the day of dad's sentencing?
Yes, seriously. And by the way, this does not count as spontaneous. You did the exact same thing last year with Akala. So,
yes. First week of filming.
Now Cole and Tess are doing some farm work elsewhere, and Cole tells us, even though we just wrapped up harvest, you know, what's supposed to be the busiest time of the year, we still have so much work to do on the farm. No matter if we're taking my dad to court, no matter what new girlfriend you got, that's your lifestyle. It's not just your job.
Okay. So,
thanks for the insight.
Yeah. And Cole's like, that meeting is something else. Steven, don't even let me talk about stuff. I had stuff to say. And Tess is like,
well, that just kind of comes from your dad, I think.
He's like, yeah, but I'm trying to step up. So I got to step up, you know. I mean, I don't know if this was the right time to fly in a girl.
It's like, well, I thought it was a little odd myself, but I didn't want to say nothing. You never know how bossy this one's going to be.
Blair says that she's a slut. It's like, oh. So then Ellie and Steven arrive.
Blair's first word.
Slut. Slut. Back inside the farm.
So then Ellie and Steven, they get to the farm, and this is where they see all the silly stuff. The toilet paper's in trees, and then, like, the thing is up that's, like, boobies and everything. So Allie's like, okay, so this was his brother. So really what I'm worried about is, I don't know if I'm about to meet the family, right? Like, am I that hot and attractive that, like, he already wants to make me his bride? Like, what is happening? I don't know what's going on. All I know is I don't think I've seen trees teepeed since high school.
Yeah, so Steven's like, you guys are crazy, okay? These handcuffs ain't mine. I just told you this place isn't decorated like a frat house. Now look at it.
Yeah, it looks so. Yeah, it's like silly.
It's wacky.
It's wacky. It's wacky. A wacky moment. There's the handcuffs and everything. And so then Allie's like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. I mean, we haven't even kissed yet. I'm going to say that a few more times, you know, just to tee up a scene where we kiss. We haven't even kissed yet.
So the boys did buy tampons. They were like, girls are like that, right? What size do you think she is? The other one's like, well, I mean, just get the small ones, because even if she's big, she can use just two of them, right? So she's like, well, I guess it's good that you have tampons. He's like, but I didn't get those, though. It's like the one good thing he did, he doesn't even want to take credit for. He's like, I don't want to look gay. So then we go back to Cole complaining to Tessa, and he's like, you know, I've been trying to take things on. I beat up a hill. I mean, you would think after closing that $30 million deal this year and paying off all that debt we did with that, I mean, I don't know how. I haven't proved to him yet that I can handle more. I need proof of this.
Yeah, I need proof.
You know, it's not like I need, you know, told good job every day, or I'm trying to show off what I'm doing.
You literally are asking to be told good job and show off what you're doing. And that's what you've been doing since last year.
It's like, but I was able to sell a bunch of ground to a big investor for $30 million just to pay the debt off with. And yeah, I just feel like she even just still treats me like I'm some sort of idiot.
I'm like, that's because you're some sort of idiot.
You are. And how much was the land worth?
Why did you punch the land before you sold it?
$1 billion worth of land for $30 million. I don't know why they're not proud of me.
Steven's showing, you know, Allie around the house and everything, and Cole's still complaining. He's like,
I know he wants to fix everything, but I also know he wants to get to find the right woman and get married, and I want him to get his life straight, you know, because I want him to be happy, because I have Casey in my life, and I have Blair. I can't tell you, I can't even tell you the help they are to me. The way that Blair helps me drive my car, hoo-wee, it's a good thing. That's how I stay on the road. I mean, they keep me going.
She's like my drunk driving straw. Every time I'm about to get in the car, I just blow up her nose and see if she gets drunk.
Every time I gotta move a bale of hay, I'm like, Blair, get out of here. Help me with this hay. Gosh, she's such a help.
I'll put everything into this. I even put Blair on the blackjack table and said, spin the wheel. Like, what are you even playing? So then we go back to Allie and Steven, and Steven's like, I'm glad you're here. You look real good. You look real good up here on this farm, Calloo.
Calloo.
Oh.
What are you saying?
Blair.
I can feel that he's trying to go in for a bit, you know, and my body language is kind of pulling back naturally. You know, look at me. I'm just Allie pulling away from any advances from this guy. Cut to them just making out.
Yeah. She's like, I'm a sloppy kisser. I just love big, fat, wet one, right? I mean, he's more of a, you know, do you not use tongue? I mean, stick your tongue in my mouth.
So anyway, speaking of mouths, we now go to the jack-o'-lantern. And so Cole is like,
I've got more in the line that I've had my whole life. And I'm here to take responsibility. I need to. Well, he needs to learn to start respecting you like you respect him. And let you grow up. And you become responsible. Whatever you need me to say to get out of my office, please. I got things to do. There's dribble doors that need to be fixed.
But this farm, Blair needs this farm.
Get the hell out of here already. Jesus Christ. So it ends with Steve Jr. and Allie sitting together on the swing. The new, completely, like, authentic couple we've all been waiting for.
Everything's fine. Everything's... Look, will they lose the farm? Maybe. But will they gain true love? Absolutely.
Of course.
Yeah.
Guys, it all works out in the end. Okay?
Yeah.
So that was the McBee dynasty, y'alls.
McBee. Thanks, everyone, for being here. We love you all, and we will catch you later this week with more fresh episodes of Watch What Crappens. See you in the next one. Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
She answered the call. It's Adia Paul.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS, we love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey. Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Gather round for the lore of Michelle Moore.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher. It's Charlotte Fletcher. Hogle your horses. It's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
Have a kebab with Kay Robb.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.